All right. Well, welcome to another Sunday evening with Zion's Trumpet. Brother Daniel, yours truly. How's everybody doing out there in Pal Talk Land? Good. Okay. Good. Good. Okay. Okay. Well, looks like everybody's doing okay at least. Let's see. Tonight's, how am I doing? Thank you, Sissy. I'm doing fine. I'm doing pretty good. I'm here. Above water. That's all that could be expected. Right? In this hour. Yes. So tonight's open mic night. And I'm not going to do any songs or anything. I'm just going to open it up for people to share. Just get right into it. Anybody has anything in their heart or anything you want to share, put up your hand and we'll start right out. So who's going to be the first to step up? I don't everybody rush at one time. There you go. There's Rich. Okay, Rich, you got the mic, brother.
Amen. Before I start, I want to also thank Pam for her most powerful testimony from a few weeks ago. I just wanted to say God bless you, Sister Pam. Be encouraged. I know that it took a lot of courage to talk about that. Thank you so much. And I also wanted to say to Joseph, thanks for slaying that chicken. It was great to hear your voice, brother. I'm reading this so so I don't forget anything. So hope it doesn't sound too bad. I have something to share tonight. It is something we have all heard recently that I believe is worth repeating, especially in light of what the Lord has been speaking to us through Brother Daniel. That we all press in to bearing a hundredfold fruit, which I believe means to be changed into His image and walking in sinless perfection, so that we can stand before our Lord unashamed at His coming, but most importantly, that we continue to have a deep, abiding relationship with Jesus our Lord. We all long, I know I do, we all long to hear those words from our Lord, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I also believe that we decide how much fruit, like Daniel does, we are all going to walk in. It is only as we abide and keep abiding in Him and He in us that we can bear fruit. I'd like to now turn to John 15 and read verses 2 through 5. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. In verse 2, He, the Lord, who is the vine, says that every branch, and we are those branches, that is bearing fruit, He purges to bring forth more fruit. I'm pretty much a city boy, so I've heard that, I don't know too much about, you know, a fruit tree or anything, but I have heard that a fruit tree, the first year does not produce or bear much fruit, but as it is cut back, will bear more fruit in the next season and more fruit in each season after, as long as the fruit abides in the vine. I believe I believe one of the most important fruits of the Spirit is our willingness, our willing obedience to be led by the Lord and be willing to be purged and tested and to die to self and to serve Him only. This willingness and obedience only comes as we abide in Him. If you look at verse 4, We can only bear fruit as we abide in him. I'll read it again. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine. We abide in the Lord, then we can bear fruit. Abiding in him is something that we do. The Lord cannot do that for us. It is not like the all of God and we sit back and do nothing crowd. It is something that we press into daily as we abide in him. He helps us to produce more fruit. I would also like to read some scriptures out of Philippians 3 that Annabelle read last week. The Lord also spoke these same scriptures to me before last week's teachings. I just want to say, God bless you, Annabelle. That was one of the clearest teachings on sonship that I have heard. It really blessed me. As I read these verses, I would like to tie it into what I have been sharing about abiding in the vine. Let's look at Philippians 3:10 through 14. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend, that for which I am apprehended for in Christ Jesus, that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. And Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I hope I'm not stretching or twisting this too much, but in verse 10, that I may know him could also mean I abide in him, and I abide in the power of his resurrection, and I abide in the fellowship of his sufferings, and so on. I do not think any of us has reached perfection yet, but we keep pressing into him. We can do it. I know I have not. The Lord came to show us as an example that it's possible as we submit to him in all things, as he submitted to the Father in all things. He did only those things that pleased the Father. He abided in the Father. That which the Lord has apprehended us for can be apprehended. I think sometimes the devil condemns us of things we have done in the past. Satan lies to us to keep us from or delaying us from apprehending the prize of the high calling. We cannot accept these lies. Paul knew it was possible and was continuing to press into it. I believe Paul eventually walked in the high calling sometime before he was beheaded in Rome. And I think there's a scripture in 2 Timothy that he had won the prize, that he had gotten the crown. So I think in that verse of scripture there that he did walk in the high calling. Anyhow, let's look at verse 13 and 14 again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Paul said, forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward, we press into the prize of the high calling. He said he had not apprehended it yet, but he was continuing to press into it. So we too must forget what has happened in the past and continue to press in ourselves. We all know it's not easy, but we also know that it's doable and well worth it when we stand before the Lord. Remember, as Daniel said, it is us who decide how much we're going to press into the and abide in the Lord. I would also, in closing, like to read 1 John 2:27 through 28. Remember, as we abide in Him, He will abide in us, and by His Spirit, the anointing, will lead us and teach us in all truth, if we are willing. Verse 27, but the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. You need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And I think that has a twofold meaning. That could be our daily walk with Him, that we have confidence and we're not ashamed. We want to abide in Him. In closing, those of us who have been listening to Daniel's teachings these past 2 years about walking in perfection and believe them, have that desire to press into perfection. And this can only happen as we willingly abide in Him and are led by His Spirit. Amen. Lord, bless you all, and thank you for letting me share this tonight. I hope that you encouraged it, that you are encouraged as much as it has me. I also want to encourage everyone in this room to share what the Lord has spoken to them. I am not really too good on speaking very well either, Brother Joe, but praise the Lord, He speaks through stammering lips, which I am. Keep abiding in Him and speaking the truth, brothers and sisters. Lord bless you.
Amen, Rich. Amen. Good word, brother. Thank you for sharing. That was a good word. Don't worry if your lips are stammering. My lips stammer too. Amen. Okay. Who's next? Let's see. Came and said, Apostle, can you explain what the scripture means about binding and loosing? Do they have power and authority to bind and loose wicked and unclean spirits? Thanks. That's a controversial passage. A lot of people have different interpretations of what that means, binding and loosing. But do we have the power and authority to bind and loose wicked and unclean spirits? We have the power to bind them, Caymans, if in ourselves. First of all, whenever you talk about binding spirits, you got to make a difference between yourself and other people. When you talk about yourself, you have your own will involved. So, of course, if you're going to do something like that, you have the complete authority to do that. When you're talking about somebody else, you're talking about their will, and you got to make sure that their will is in line with God's will, that they're submitting to everything that's going on, that they want delivered, they know they need delivered, and all that kind of stuff. You know, so we have the authority to bind spirits in our own lives. Absolutely. Absolutely. They have no authority over us. If we're walking in the light, we're obeying the light God has given us, and we use the authority of Jesus' blood, the power of His blood in His name, and we can bind any spirits in our life. When it comes to other people, we can bind any spirits in their life as long as they're on the same page as we are. Okay, if they're not on the same page, they don't know they want delivered, they don't want delivered or whatever, then that's a different problem. You've got a will that's involved there. But as far as our own personal lives, yes, absolutely, you have authority to bind it. Now, to loose spirits, I don't believe we have power to loose spirits. And I don't believe that passage is really talking about binding and loosing spirits anyway, but I believe we can bind spirits in our own life. I don't believe you can pray and loose evil spirits on somebody or loose good spirits on the earth. I don't believe that. That comes from that's some of the strange teachings of the spiritual warfare movement that I don't agree with. Okay? But as far as binding and loosing in general, that whole passage, that's a pretty deep subject, and I don't know if I can answer it right offhand in this chat room. Okay? I can do it some other time. I'll try and I'll get it together for you next week and answer for you next week, all right? But as far as your question here about the authority to bind wicked, unclean spirits, absolutely, we have the power to do that in our own life and other people's lives as long as they're submitted to the Lord and they want free. They realize they're in spiritual bondage and they want free, yes. Not loose. We don't have the power to loose anything as far as spirits goes. And again, I don't think that whole binding and loosing has anything to do with spiritual warfare per se anyway. Is that a good enough for now, that answer? Good. Okay, good. Thanks for the question there, Caymans. Who's next? Looks like we got Sister Kim. Go ahead, Kim. You got the mic.
Okay, it's just a little something I'm going to read that I got together this week. By nature, I am a person who likes to be in the middle of things. In some ways, it is good, and in some ways, it can be bad. But anyway, I am very covetous of attention. I don't like to be left out of anything. You can ask Mom. I like to spend as much time with them as the Lord will allow. They have been more caring to me than my earthly family ever was, and I never felt real love until I met them. I have been very clingy over the years, and they have been the best family I have ever had. This week, the Lord showed me that He is just as covetous of us spending time with Him. Jesus wants us. He feels very rejected, hurt, and jealous when we do not spend time with Him. I realized I have been neglecting my relationship with Him by not spending enough time with Him. He is a real person, and He wants us to spend time with Him. I understand so clearly now what Daniel meant when he talked about having a relationship with Jesus and not just reading the Bible. You can read the Bible to find out about Jesus and learn about Him, but you can't have a relationship with the Bible. If you talk to it, it won't talk back. If you pray to it, it will not hear you. If you cry to the Bible, it will not come into your heart and comfort you. But Jesus the person will do all these things, and He longs to do all these things. He wants us more than our own parents wanted us. He wants us more than any son or daughter does. He wants us more than any relative or spouse ever could. Jesus reminded me of an analogy in the Old Testament that I heard someone use once. It was that of Abraham's servant Eleazar, going to Haran to get a wife for Isaac. On the way back to Canaan, Rebekah was able to ask Eleazar all about Isaac. Rebekah could practically know everything about Isaac before she arrived, and feel like they had already met. But even though Eleazar could tell her about Isaac, Eleazar himself was not Isaac, and she would not truly know her bridegroom until she had met him. She learned about Isaac on the trek home, but she did not really know Isaac until she spent time with him in person. Jesus covets our time and attention, and He has personally, Himself, done everything He can to make Himself accessible and available to us. But we have to choose to want Him in return. Rebekah chose to leave everything behind to meet her bridegroom. She did not look back. Jesus desires the same from us. And that's all.
Amen. That's a good little word, Kim. Very true. Very true. Praise the Lord. Yes. Okay, who's next? So you got Sister Sissy. Okay, Sissy, you got the mic.
Hope everyone can hear me. I'm not even sure if I'm on here or not. Oh, good. I'm a little nervous. Don't ask me why, but I am extremely nervous right now. It's good to be in the room this evening. I had a couple of things that the Lord showed me this week, but I didn't write anything down. Sometimes I do better without reading, just speaking from my heart. But you know how Dan's been showing us how we have to separate, even sometimes from family, you know, if we're gonna go on with the Lord, if there's someone that was going to hinder us and that sort of thing. Well, the Lord was showing me this week. I just started reading Mark this week, and just something about that gospel that just kind of just touches my heart sometimes, because it's just everything's so down to earth in the gospels, as you know, and just the obedience of the men that the Lord called, for example, the sons of Zebedee. There they were on the boat with their father, and the Lord called them. He said, just follow me. And these young men just took off and did exactly that, in just absolute obedience. Not that they didn't love their dad, But I don't see anywhere in the gospel where they asked for permission to leave or even excuse themselves. They just dropped everything and followed the Lord. A little further on this week, that passed, Lord led me to the story of Ruth. And this was last night. I tell you, it really blessed me. It was just something about the obedience of this young woman. And when I think of Naomi, it was almost like she was, I think of her as sort of representing the Holy Ghost in our lives that leads us on and encourages us to do, you know, to walk this walk. And, you know, let's face it, Ruth came from Moab and she left her family, she left everything, and she could have gone back when her husband died, but she didn't. She chose to stay with her mother-in-law. And she, her love for her and the obedience, and she decided she was going to follow the Lord God that Naomi followed. And so that when she met her kinsman, Boaz, I always think of him being a type of Christ. And the Lord showed me that he was her kinsman redeemer, her deliverer. That blessed me so much this week. I've been going through some things, and just seeing the obedience of this woman, and I thought, you know what, Lord, there's so many women in the Old Testament that truly walked in obedience before God, and men, of course. Their numbers are, well, I don't have to tell you that. You all know that. But in the New Testament as well. But that walk of obedience is part of the high calling. And I believe with all my heart that it's not just dying to ourselves, but dying to the world, dying to maybe even relationships that could offend the Lord, or in terms of putting them first. We can't do that. You know, the Lord has taken that out of my heart. In some with some family members, I just feel in my heart that I can live. You know, as long as I have Christ, if I have Jesus, I have everything. I have everything I need. And so if I'm rambling a little, please forgive me tonight. But no, I really was blessed. The obedience of this woman, the obedience of the men that left everything to follow Christ, that ought to be our walk daily. And that's where I'm pressing in and pressing on. And thank you for your time. God bless you all.
Amen, Sister Sissy. Amen. That's right. That's why they're in the scripture there. Good examples for us to follow. Thanks for sharing, Sissy. That's good. Glad the Lord's leading you and guiding you. Already, who's next? So we got Howard or Judy. Go ahead, you got the mic.
Sissy, I've got notes, so I'll tell you how good the notes are. I don't know where to start, so I think I'll start in the middle. And one of the things, you're talking about separation, there's another form of separation that that we see in the Word from Jesus in John chapter 6. He is speaking to his disciples, and there's many of them that had been following him because of the miracles, and he was feeding them, and all kinds of neat things were happening. He was walking on the water, and a lot of things that you'd really want to follow Jesus for, because he can do a lot of things for you. And unfortunately, that's kind of the mindset of a lot of Christians, and that's not really the kind of mind that Jesus is looking for. He's looking for someone that will have that relationship with him that we're all talking about tonight. To have that intimacy, to have a relationship with one who can give us life like no one else can. He shares in his dissertation in John chapter 6 about the fathers of Israel in the wilderness. They were fed manna. And that manna was from God, That manna was given for their natural sustenance. But God wanted something more than that, more than for us to come to him because he's going to feed us and take care of us and everything. And he began to speak concerning relationship and the kind of relationship that he required from his disciples. And it's because of that relationship that he was looking for, it said that many, many would leave. Many left him. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and they walked no more with him. And unfortunately, in the body of Christ, there's a separation that's taking place. Those that are going on, and Rich brought it out to the for the prize of the high calling, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that that place in God that that he wants us to attain to come into. And there's those that say, you know, I like my life the way it is right now. I kind of like things the way they are. I'm happy with my life. I'm satisfied. I can go and have fellowship, and I can hear the preacher, and I can pay my tithes, and I can howdy up and down the aisles with everybody and have a good time on Sunday morning, and, you know, maybe even Sunday night they got special speakers or maybe the special music and that sort of thing. Well, Jesus came out with something a little different. He says, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. What does that mean? Well, that's a good question, because the disciple says, man, who can do this? This is a hard saying. Jesus said, it's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. And the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And Jesus said in another place, when he was in the wilderness of temptation, after he was baptized by John, he was taken into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And as he was tempted of the devil, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that was taken right out of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, it says, all the commandments which God commands you this day, you shall observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, was to humble you and to prove you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you, and he suffered you to hunger, but he fed you with manna, which you did not know of, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord God does man live. And so when you look at that, in the wilderness, God fed them natural stuff. Today, the church is providing all kinds of natural stuff. But those people that had the natural stuff that God provided in the wilderness died there. And many, many are dying because they're not hearing or they don't want to hear. There's a two-edged sword here. Number one, yeah, they may be deceived, but you know what? God says it's because of the out of your heart that you seek after these things and you're content to be there. He even says, and you would have it to be so. So, now, what are we going to do with the hard sayings of Jesus? We have to make a choice. Do you want to be accepted? Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be content? Do you want to die in church? Yeah, that sounds pretty good deal. Or do you want to live in him? He came to give you a life. He came to give us a life, and he says, that life is in me. As Rich said, it's abiding in his presence. In his presence is where we receive the life. As Kim said, to know him and come into this place where you have relationship and fellowship with him. That intimacy that we cannot get in this world. This world is phony, fake, and it's a lie. And unfortunately, a lot of Christendom is also. That's a hard saying. That's a hard thing. So what God wants is he wants our heart and our life. He wants us to totally accept him for everything that he is. And when the separation takes place, it says that there, Jesus said to his disciples, after many turned away from him, he said to the 12, are you going to go away also? And this is the same question he's asking us today. Will you also leave us because of these hard sayings? To choose only to do the will of the Father? To follow Jesus wherever he goes? Even to the cross? But anyhow, Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. Peter knew that Jesus is the only way to life.